Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's really going on in this crazy, crazy world? So welcome to the 536th edition of SDG and the first in our new End Time Updates. This is End Time Update number one. And then later in this message, folks, I hope you stay tuned because we're going to tie it all into the real Christmas tree. And yes, folks, there is a real Christmas tree. And it's not the one you probably took down last week. Folks, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 10, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And in that day shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." So stay tuned, folks, so we can learn how to have rest. Yes, rest, which is our weapon in the midst of this Luciferian chaos by knowing the real Christmas tree. Now, I know, folks, that that may sound crazy, but I'm telling you, it's true. The bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, what are we doing, folks? We're just passing through. So let's all refuse. Let's all refuse to be duped and drawn in and manipulated by this media madness, folks. And let's learn as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, how did this all start? Yes, by the proven lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And, folks, as we do every week, let's begin by looking at something from last week's episode. Now, over the several past weeks, we've been talking about this dreaded moronic variant. The Omicron variant. And we know now that it's been officially linked to two deaths worldwide. And listen to how the WebMD on December 24th reported in their article on the one supposed death in Texas. And here it is. This is WebMD.com. First Omicron death in U.S. was reinfection. So this is Dateline, December 24th, 2021. The first confirmed death from Omicron variant in U.S. was a reinfection of a man from Harris County, Texas, in his 50s, unvaccinated, who had previously been infected with COVID-19 before, and he contracted the virus again. And the article goes on, folks. It goes on to say, and I'm reading this right out of the statement, "This is a reminder of the severity of COVID-19 and its variants. We urge all residents who qualify to get vaccinated and get their booster shot if they haven't already, because this man died from Omicron." Folks, that's a lie, and we proved it last week. Remember what we played? We played the clip where CNN was busted by the reporter named Dan Cohen from PN News regarding the first Omicron death. This is the one that he investigated. So let's play that just to remember how this media isn't reporting truth, but rather manipulating our minds for an agenda.
"We've just confirmed the first death in the United States due to the Omicron variant in Texas."
On Monday, Texas reported the country's first known Omicron death, a man in his 50s who was not vaccinated.
Okay,
we
so
can't
folks,
confirm
listen to
that the patient died from COVID, but we can say that he was Omicron positive at the time of his death.
So he died with COVID, but you can't say that he died from COVID.
Correct. This information comes from our epidemiologists, who are the ones who get the reports. They have to do a very meticulous investigation because, you know, they do take this very much at heart. They're telling me that they cannot say that that COVID was the absolute cause of death.
There you have it, folks. And I'm telling you, this entire Omicron variant narrative is nothing but voodoo or fear porn. Remember, we played the Reese report a few weeks ago, in fact, early in December, regarding what Omicron is. Let's just re-listen to what Greg Reese had to say concerning the Omicron fear campaign.
It was decided by the WHO in early 2021 to use the Greek alphabet as a means of naming the many COVID-19 variants that they somehow knew were coming down the pike. Delta wasn't the first alleged variant of COVID, and there have supposedly been 8 new variants since. Omicron is merely the next one chosen to stir up fear via the corporate-run media. Delta and Omicron may be the result of India and South Africa vying for independence over their own health protocols in October of 2020. But either way, they skipped 2 letters of the Greek alphabet, nu and g. The reason seems likely. They skipped nu because saying the new variant sounds exactly like saying the new variant. And the g variant sounds as if we are naming it after Xi Jinping, which would be fitting, but the WHO obviously isn't going to do that. So it ended up as Omicron, which is also interesting. Omicron is symbolized by the I. Anagrams of Omicron are moronic, which you would have to be if you were still going along with any of this, and oncomere. Oncomeres are small endogenous RNAs that regulate gene expression post-transcriptionally. They are part of the body's natural reaction to splicing and gene editing and are specifically associated with cancer. In 1963, the Italian film Omicron was released, about an alien taking over a person's body to recon the planet for a future invasion, produced by Lux Films, which translates to Lucifer, the light bearer. In 2013, the film The Visitor from Planet Omicron was released, about a corrupt government that sends an alien to Earth to deliver a virus. If you add the word Delta, as in the other big media-hyped variant, then you have the anagram Media Control. This all reminds me of reverse speech, such as the famous Obama slogan, Yes, We Can.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
That when played in reverse sounds like, thank you, Satan.
Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan.
And when you play Omicron backwards, you get what some people are claiming sounds like, lock him up. Omicron. As if referring to their psychopathic patsy, Anthony Fauci. Weird coincidence? Are we living in the Matrix? Or is it simply psyop voodoo trickery? Whatever it is, there is no escape from any of this madness until enough people wake up and say no. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Folks, I'm telling you, this is all about fear. It has nothing to do about public health. In fact, did you know that fear is a form of mind control? That's right. And fear is the antithesis of good health. So it isn't about public health. It's all about, in one word, control. In 2 words, continued control. And in 3 words, more continued control. Folks, once a right is surrendered, it is rarely ever given back by these tyrants. And that's what we have to all start to remember, and we're going to have to do something about it. You know, the way this formed, the way this fear porn is going, I wouldn't be surprised if the tyrants come out and tell people that we can't leave the home anymore. Back to more lockdowns. That's what I'm thinking might happen. And for the unvaxxed, you'll never be able to leave the house. You'll have to order your food online. You have to work from home. And those face diapers, they're going to be required everywhere again. Not just one, but two, maybe three. And if you're spotted outside without a mask, you know, it's getting so crazy. If somebody told me that police officers tased someone because they didn't have a face mask on, I wouldn't believe it in normal times. But in these crazy times, if somebody said, you know, officers down at the park just tased two people because they didn't have face masks on, in this crazy day and age, I'd believe it. And soon, they're going to be telling you you need a booster every other month. And we're already hearing this. If a doctor doesn't follow the CDC-approved treatment protocol, which is do nothing until you can't breathe, and then come to the hospital so we can put you on a ventilator with remdesivir and kill you, they're going to de-license these physicians. These physicians are scared for their practices that they put a tremendous amount of time and money into. And forget about debating the narrative. Don't even try to discuss alternative treatments. Don't even try to talk about whether or not this is as serious as everybody's saying. And in fact, what they're doing now is anybody that tries to talk about a contrary narrative, they're deplatformed. I mean, more physicians. Dr. Malone was just deplatformed this past week. And soon, internet service providers are going to block any content that does not follow the deep state narrative. It's crazy what's going on. In fact, I just got a notice for an upgrade on my iPhone, and this last one says they're going to be able to read text in photos. You know what that means? At first, that sounds, oh, is this cool? Now I can. No, folks, they're going to be able to use this new AI technology to read the memes that a lot of us are out there doing guerrilla warfare, info warfare, on places like Twitter. So I go into a big Twitter feed on somebody like, say, Dan Rather. I've done that. I've done some of the mainstream talking heads. And I'll make a off-the-cuff comment and then put a couple memes in there because I haven't been shut down doing that. But with this new technology, this new AI technology developed by Apple, and I'm sure all these different platforms are going to have it very soon, that's what's going to happen. Folks, here's the real reason they're keeping this hype up. They need to maintain this medical emergency. Otherwise, the emergency use authorizations for all the vaccines, including Pfizer, go away on January 15th. So they need another emergency, hence Omicron. And that keeps the emergency use authorization in place. So Omicron has to be a major threat to society. Otherwise, the emergency use authorizations go away. Folks, I'm wondering, when are the people going to wake up? You know, this truly is what Dr. Desmond talked about. You know, the mass formation. We played Dr. Malone talking about mass formation, isolation, fear, frustration, denial. And then the only solution, the solution offered by the quote-unquote authorities, who are actually the false authorities. You know, this RNA augmentation injection, and that's what it actually is, folks. It's being euphemistically rebranded as a vaccine, which it never will be, nor never was. And why? Because they're using this to lay the groundwork for what I'm going to call H2.0, or HU, you know, human 2.0. Have you seen those ads from years ago? HU, you know, the new element, humanity. Well, this will be the foundation for the first transhuman being. Transhumanism, you know, that's why this whole trans movement is so big, because we're starting to decouple from reality. You know, they're locked and loaded and ready for imprisonment. But our prison will be our minds, folks. You know, the metaverse of Facebook, where we'll have experiences for life. Remember, I played, I think it was last week or the week before, I played that Zuckerberg experience clip. Play it again. And listen, this is what you're going to have with the metaverse. And once you are augmented for the new metaverse experience, human 2.0, the transhuman, that's going to be your new reality, if that is even a reality.
Now, the best way to understand the metaverse is to experience it yourself. How we actually experience the world and interact with each other.
Experience the world. Experience. Experiences.
You're going to be able to move across these different experiences
in the experience.
You're going to be in these experiences. Many of the most immersive experiences, just a fundamentally different experience, you can start to see how the metaverse is going to enable richer experiences and really bring them into these shared experiences. Now, there's a lot that needs to get built to create experiences like this. New experiences that you're having to a completely different set of experiences in the metaverse. Different kinds of metaverse experiences, the most important experience of all, experiences.
Sorry for that, folks. I had my mic off. But experience. So what is an experience? Well, the deep state hasn't changed the meaning of this word yet. So I just took this out of Merriam-Webster Dictionary online this morning. Experience. Direct observation. Direct observation, folks, not virtual observation, or a participation in events. Participation in an event, folks, not virtual participation, as the basis of knowledge. So direct observation or participation in an event as the basis of knowledge. And then the next element under there in terms of the definition is the fact or state of having been affected or gained knowledge through direct observation or participation. I'm telling you, folks, these augmented realities are neither direct, okay, or are you actively participating? It's a passive participation. Folks, the metaverse isn't real, so the observations are not direct, and they are filtered through artificial intelligence. And neither is our participation in this metaverse direct. It isn't. It's a virtual. So it's mind control, like we see in all the human copper tops in the Matrix franchise. You know, they were supplying power to the machine cities in the Matrix stories. In fact, I wanted to have a comment on Resurrections, the latest one that just came out. Terry and I streamed it this week off HBO Max, and boy, does that have a terrible platform. We'll be canceling that subscription here at the end of the month. But I just wanted to talk a little bit about that, but we'll save that for next week's. Just remember, folks, this is all about mind control, and the masses are going to be prisoners in their minds. That's what the Black Mirrors are about, the solo episodes. There's this new one I saw on Amazon Prime, I believe it is, about Dreamweaver or something. We're going to look into that, and maybe I can update on that next week. So here's what I'm writing down in my notes next week. Resurrection. I want to play a clip on there about prison. Resurrection clip and the new Amazon Dream series. This is all getting the public ready through this method that we've talked about before called predictive programming. This is all to get the world ready for their new chains, which will be Wi-Fi, their new prison, which will be the metaverse, and new reality, which won't actually be a reality at all. So continuing along, folks, what I'd like to do is play part number four in Stephen Jacobson's classic, Mind Control in America. So here is clip number four, and it's a little bit longer, but there's a lot of good information in here. And pay attention to this, because they use the entire outlawing of a very important herb known as cannabis, which I want to talk a bit more on next week. So let me get that in notes too. Cannabis in Coop Talk. So this is part of our prep. That cannabis is something you ought to have in your medicine bag. And I'll explain that more next week. But listen to Mind Control in America, Part 4.
Numerous motion pictures have precipitated violence over the years. The Warriors, one of a number of movies about street gangs, was followed by a rash of violence in cities across the nation. Approximately 28 people died playing Russian roulette in response to seeing the deer hunter. The press reported that John Hinckley Jr. told his attorneys that the idea to assassinate President Reagan came to him after seeing the movie Taxi Driver. A report released in 1982 by the National Institute of Mental Health said,
"Violence on television does lead to aggressive behavior by children and teenagers who watch the programs."
Dr. Thomas Narut from the U.S. Naval Hospital at NATO headquarters in Naples investigated the use of film to train servicemen who were not inclined to kill to be able to do so. Films were screened which showed people being maimed or killed violently to desensitize the men to those acts. A progressively more graphic depiction of violence in movies, television, and music desensitizes people, especially young people, to real-life violence and increases tension, anxiety, and fear among older people who perceive increasing lawlessness and the breakdown of society. A University of Massachusetts study of crime programs on television reveals that law enforcement officers are often shown breaking and entering illegally, failing to inform suspects of their rights, terrorizing and coercing witnesses, and accepting bribes. Constitutional guarantees are regarded as bothersome technicalities that hinder the police in the performance of their duty. Professors Katch and Ahrens, who conducted the study, said,
"Police shows seem to reduce the ordinary citizen's awareness of constitutional rights and responsibilities. Many people engrossed in the drama of rapid-fire action or preoccupied with violence fail even to notice blatant police state tactics."
The Supreme Court has consistently expanded police powers and governmental authority while curtailing individual rights, thus enacting into law principles much like those presented on TV crime programming. The relationship between the increase in crime and the decrease in individual rights is a classic example of the Hegelian principle of bringing about change in a three-step process. The first step is to create a problem. The problem in this case is the increase in crime brought about in part by mass media programming of criminal behavior, making violence an acceptable means of problem solving, especially among young people. The second step is to create opposition to the problem. In other words, create anxiety and fear in the public so that people demand that something be done about it. The third step is to offer the solution to the problem that may entail a restriction of individual rights or some other predetermined goal, thus bringing about change that would have been impossible to impose on people without proper psychological conditioning. By causing emotional stress and mental confusion, judgment is impaired and suggestibility increased. Under these conditions, people allow their rights to be diminished without realizing its ramifications. The war on drugs is another example of this strategy in action. In 1936, a movie used hypnotic suggestion to give the audience instructions to do something. That movie was Reefer Madness. This movie used hypnotic techniques to both encourage marijuana use and promote anti-marijuana legislation. Speaking to a PTA meeting, high school principal Dr. Carroll commands parents,
"You and all other school parent groups about the country, and you must stand united on this and stamp out this frightful assassin of our youth. You can do it by bringing about compulsory education on the subject of narcotics in general, but dread marijuana in particular." That is the purpose of this meeting, ladies and gentlemen. to lay the foundation for a nationwide campaign by you to demand by law such compulsory education.
When Dr. Carroll begins to speak, he raises a sheet of paper in front of him and reads certain facts from it. The white sheet of paper prominent in the middle of the screen is a distraction for the eyes to lock onto in order to cause the hypnotic state of mind while information is programmed to the audience verbally. Dr. Carroll delivers his lines with a hypnotic rhythm that is punctuated by changes in pacing, volume, and tone, just like a hypnotist. He speaks with authority and looks into the camera and into the eyes of the audience. Both are hypnotic techniques. Picture yourself in a movie theater. Now imagine a huge face on the screen staring at you. The stated intent of Reefer Madness was to stamp out the menace of marijuana because it leads to, quote, acts of shocking violence ending often in incurable insanity, end quote. In contrast, young people are shown having a good time smoking marijuana, dancing, kissing, and retreating to the bedroom. By showing young people having a good time smoking marijuana, Reefer Madness encouraged young people to at least try it. By telling the story of normal kids going berserk because of marijuana, Reefer Madness scared older people into demanding that something be done. This movie was part of a well-orchestrated propaganda campaign that included newspapers, magazines, and radio. In 1937, about a year after the release of the movie, the Marijuana Tax Act was signed into law, with a major effect being to drive prices up for marijuana to make its cultivation and distribution profitable.
Wake up, America. We must wake up before it's too late. But folks, I've got to keep moving. Now let's get started with Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, folks, let's get started with our coronavirus heist. Wake up, America, because it's not going to get any better until we all stand up and say no. Hey, there are professional athletes all around the world dying. The fourth football player, now in Europe, they refer to football in terms of what we refer to soccer here in the United States, but the fourth soccer player, an Algerian star, dead after suffering a heart attack. You know, so now this is number four in terms of young, extremely healthy athletes, soccer stars who died from heart complications. This was this gentleman, and God rest his soul, this Algerian, Sofiane Loker. Then there was the Croatian, Marin Kasic, and then there was another one. This is an Egyptian. He was a goaltender. And an Algerian. Now let's listen to how MSNBC covered this story. And here's CBS's report. They're not covering it, folks. In fact, it gets worse. Did you know what they're doing in the NFL? It's come out now. They are treating patients with ivermectin, or I should say players. And now the question becomes is how many of these players were actually vaccinated? Now, how about this story? The 49-year-old New York Times editor dies of a heart attack one day after boasting about getting his booster shot. Now, here's how the report was out there. This is Carlos Tejeda. He's a New York Times deputy editor of their Asian desk. He died of a heart attack last week, hours after getting a COVID booster shot. Now, he received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine back in July. That's what his Instagram account says. And this time, and isn't this crazy how you can mix these things up? You notice it's not like stay in your lane. Hey, if you had Pfizer, stick with Pfizer. Hey, if you had Moderna, because it's not about medicine, folks. It's about augmentation. It's about prepping the human genome for the transhumanism, which is coming, where you will be a prisoner in your mind. So this double-vaxxed, Janssen-fueled, Moderna-boosted, hey, Omicron, hit me with your wet snot, boasted on it. This is what he said. These aren't my words, folks. This is his on his Instagram account on December 16th. Now, here's how the mainstream media reported on this. And we're going to go right to his employer, the New York Times. This is how they reported his death. And this is crazy. This is absolutely insane, but it's what's out there, and this is all mind control. This isn't the Fourth Estate holding the authorities accountable, trying to help the public shape public policy. No, this is all about control. Here's how the New York Times reported his death. Carlos Tejeda, the deputy Asian editor in the New York Times, who helped shape coverage of the global COVID-19 crisis in 2021 that won a Pulitzer Prize, died on Friday in the hospital in Seoul. He was 49. His wife, Nora Tejeda, said the cause of death was a heart attack. So they go on, blah, 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 talking about all of his great news and how China censored online news. Ooh, that only happens in China. Bad China, huh? Now, China is bad, but all these governments around the world are bad right now. They're all in on this, folks. So this article said nothing about the fact that he just had a vaccination the day before.
What?
That's right, Paul. Not a thing. Do you see the irony here too, Paul? So he's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who covered the COVID-19 crisis and how China censored online news, and there's nothing here about the fact that he just took a vaccination booster shot, if you want to call it that, the day before. Not a thing. This is so crazy, you know, and they call this news. It's laughable, folks. Kind of hypocritical, if you ask me. Talk about hypocrisies. Shame on you, CBS. Did you hear about this one, folks, last week on Face the Nation? They, you know, have that roundtable discussion. They're all talking about things. And it's the last show for the year end. And they're all sitting around singing Kumbaya and holding hands when they get to Jan Crawford. She's the senior legal analyst for CBS News. And she was sharing what she thought was the least or the most undercovered story of the entire year. So listen to what Jan Crawford has to say. And by the way, this was censored, so it didn't make it to the archive, didn't make it to the streaming service. But listen to what Jan Crawford had to say. And folks, she's speaking truth.
Well, I want to get to underreported stories as well. Jan?
Oh, my kids hear me rant about this every day, so I may as well tell you guys. It's the crushing impact that our COVID policies have had on young kids and children. Mm-hmm. By far, you know, the least serious risk for serious illness. But, I mean, even teenagers, you know, a healthy teenager has a 1 in a million chance of getting and dying from COVID, which is way lower than, you know, dying in a car wreck on a road trip. But they have suffered and sacrificed the most, especially kids in underrepresented, at-risk communities. And now we have the Surgeon General saying there's a mental health crisis mm-hmm. among our kids. The risk of suicide attempts among girls now up 51% this year. Black kids nearly twice as likely as white kids to die by suicide. I mean, school closures, lockdowns, cancellation of sports. You couldn't even go on a playground in the D.C. area without cops scurrying, shooing the kids off. Tremendous negative impact on kids, and it's been an afterthought. Yeah. You know, it's hurt their dreams, their future, learning loss, risk of abuse, their mental health. And now with our knowledge, our vaccines, if our policies don't reflect a more measured and reasonable approach for our children, mm-hmm. they will be paying for our generation's decisions the rest of their lives. And that, to me, is the greatest underreported story of the past year.
So I've been sharing this clip with people this week, and the most common comment I get from the people that are blue-pilled, the normies out there, is, well, that's just one person. Wrong. Listen to this story from Zero Hedge. Lockdowns will be remembered as one of the greatest policy failures ever. Isn't that what Jan Crawford just said? Well, where did Jan get her information? Well, it sounds like Ms. Crawford does her research. So here's from Zero Hedge. Lockdowns are one of the greatest peacetime policy disasters of all time. And right here they're quoting Professor Douglas Allen out of a paper he just finished and published by the International Journal of the Economics of Business. And then another article that was done by a team of researchers at the National Bureau of Economic Research, and he cites, the author cites this in the article from Zero Hedge, failed to find any evidence that lockdowns led to a reduction in the COVID death rate. In fact, these researchers who examined the data from 43 countries and all of the United States, so all 50 states, found that lockdowns were positively correlated with higher death rate totals, folks, not lower. So like I've been saying from day one, this is not about public health. This is all about control and preparation for the Great Reset. There's a process they have to put you through, folks. It's a asymmetric war. It's a non-conventional, non-kinetic war where the battleground is your mind. So by preventing people from engaging in work, school, socialization, it causes a widespread suffering. And people in Nevada suffered it very seriously this year. Nevada's Governor Steve Sisolak had lockdown policies in place that were nothing short of draconian, and yet they didn't stop the spread of the invisible virus. In fact, they inflicted widespread harm upon the working class in Nevada. A recent analysis from the Pew Charitable Trust found that Nevadans' prime age employment rate dropped a full 10% between 2019 and 2021. Another element in this entire deconstruction of Western civilization, folks, is the destruction of our economy. So in other words, 10 out of every 100 prime working age people in Nevada who were employed in the spring of 2019 are now out of a job. And this is by far the highest job loss rate anywhere in our nation. Triple the average rate found in all 49 other states. Now, as bad as this fact may be, nothing compares to the harm which these crazy policies have inflicted upon the poor children in Nevada. So everything that Jan Crawford said over at CBS has been documented. These massive school closures have caused all sorts of interruptions in the education process for these children. And in some ways that might actually be good, folks, since these government, I mean public schools, are actually forcing the party line upon these children, not teaching them how to think critically, which we cover on this show over and over and over again. No. These government schools teach compliance. And that's what we need to not do right now. We need to not comply. We need to peacefully resist, folks. We need to take a lesson right out of the book from Gandhi and Martin Luther King. So these school closures cause all sorts of problems. And in the future, once these students graduate and try to get jobs, they're going to get lower quality jobs, lower paying jobs. So they're going to have increased poverty rates and probably reduced life expectancies. I'm not saying this. This is all in the Pew Charitable Trust report. And then don't even get me started on the increased rates of mental illness and mental health issues. It's awful, folks. And it's also showing a radical increase, like Jane Crawford said on her CBS report, that suicide rates are up. Plus, get this, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, now admits, and I'm quoting from one of their latest releases, COVID-19 transmissions do not appear to be demonstrably more frequent in schools than in non-educational settings. So there's nothing dangerous about that school. And there was even a more rigorous study done by the Journal of Global Health, which, and I'm quoting, children and adolescents had lower odds of infection in an educational setting compared to community and household clusters. So in other words, school shutdowns had nothing to do with public health. It has everything to do with part of this asymmetric, non-conventional war where they're preparing the masses for the next phase in this enslavement. That's why I'm calling these updates now, instead of crisis updates, endgame updates. We are literally at the end of their game, and we need to stay the course, folks. And, you know, you get tired sometimes, and you just get weary, and you say, I need some rest. Well, I hope you stay tuned, because I'm going to show you how rest is our weapon and how we can have it if we know the real Christmas tree, which is the root of Jesse. So think about this, folks. This thing isn't really very deadly. This Omicron variant is even less deadly than the flu. Yet we have young, healthy children all across the country and the world with these face masks on, these face diapers. You know, face masks are for slaves and prisoners, not free people. And if we truly are living in the land of the free, in the home of the brave, for this place to remain free, we must be brave. Stand up, folks, and say no. It's not about public health. It's all about people control. And did you hear this one? Abbott, the big pharma company that produces those do-it-yourself home COVID test kits, they add a poison to it, sodium azide. That's actually in the test kit that you put in your body. Now, these are being forced upon people for air travel, and I hope my business partner Todd and his family get home from Mexico. They went down there over the holiday. And I told him we have a lot of work to do here. And then one of the workers said, well, if he can't get past, just have him go to the border as an illegal. They'll put him right through and give him ivermectin. And did you know that's actually happening? So Greg Reese did a clip this week on the poison that's in these test kits. It's a short one. So let's listen to what Greg Reese has to say about the lethal drug in the COVID instant test.
On October 25th of 2021, the CDC released an order, continuing to deceptively act as if they have that authority, requiring proof of negative COVID tests from all international air travelers 2 years old and up boarding a flight to the United States beginning on December 6th. The passenger has to be tested within 24 hours of travel. To meet the CDC requirements, the tests can be self-administered. The tests are not approved by the FDA, but have been greenlit under the Emergency Use Authorization Authority. So if anything goes wrong, the manufacturer is free of liability. What could go wrong is that Abbott has included the lethal drug sodium azide into the do-it-yourself test kit. Sodium azide has caused deaths for decades. Even minute amounts can cause organ damage, Sowing most of its damage into the heart and brain. There is a small warning and instructions not to touch the swab to the reagent solution, the lethal sodium azide. But mistakes happen, and there have been several deaths and injuries in hospitals and laboratories by trained professionals handling sodium azide. In one instance, sodium azide was poured down a drain, causing it to explode and release toxic gas. Sodium azide is fatal if swallowed, fatal in contact with skin, and fatal if inhaled. And it is now included in over-the-counter test kits for frantic everyday citizens to hurry through a day before international travel, including two-year-olds. What could go wrong? For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
You know, it's a crisis in the making here, folks. You know, think about it. This is the nation where a woman won a lawsuit against McDonald's for spilling hot coffee on her lap in the drive-thru. And now they're putting sodium azide in the test kits? I can't wait to see how the media covers this, how much suppression there's going to be on this. But we have to keep moving. It's time for our Kabuki Theater Update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform for 2020 elections. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater in Japanese. Ka means salt. Boo means dance. Ki means steal from the verb. Kabu means to slam or to sway. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or it'll hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world will just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Yes, like I've been saying for weeks, if not months now, the lines between the scamdemic and Kabuki theater are becoming blurred. So I don't even know if there's value to having these different segments anymore, because we're all starting to see what's behind the veil. This is all about control. This is about preparation for the Great Reset. This is the softening of the target before the kinetic war begins. But did you hear what Fauci pulled this week on his media circus circuit? Anything to get more people vaccinated would be welcome. Listen to him. I think he was on CBS with this one, but don't quote me on that. Here's the fraud Fauci himself admitting the purpose of all this fear.
Let me ask you about something else from the president's interview with David. David asked about the vaccine, the lack of a vaccine requirement for air travel. There is no vaccine requirement for domestic air travel in the United States. And when the president was asked, should there be one, he said that his team has said it's not necessary at this point. Do you agree with that, that there shouldn't be a vaccine requirement for domestic air travel?
Well, it depends on what you want to use it for. I mean, vaccine requirements for people coming in from other countries is to prevent newly infected people from getting into the country. A vaccine requirement for a person getting on the plane is just another level of getting people to have a mechanism that would spur them to get vaccinated. Namely, you can't get on a plane unless you're vaccinated, which is just another...
Did you hear that? It depends what you want to use it for, to get people, to spur people on, to get jabbed with this false vaccine, with this human augmentation technology. Folks, it's augmentation technology. You know, it has nanotube technology in it. Oh, and by the way, I don't know how many of you heard, but I mentioned it briefly on a show in the past. Some of the work in terms of my professional area as a composites man, an interfacial science guy, I think I may be responsible for some of that. I worked with a company, and I facilitated the manufacture of these nanotubes through some substrate technology we developed for the fiberglass that's used to grow the nanotubes on. And through the entire process, I kept challenging the business unit manager and saying, this doesn't make any economic sense for composites. I just don't see how this is going to work. Well, it appears that it wasn't for that. It was for the additive, the nanotube technology that people are actually finding now in some of these jabs. So it's nothing to do about health. It's everything to do about compliance. And a while back, probably about a half a year ago, we played this clip on the real reason for this entire scamdemic. This is Dr. David Martin talking with Reiner, the attorney from Germany, quoting Dr. Peter Drazak from the EcoHealth Alliance. And this is a quote that goes back to 2016 or maybe 2015. Peter Drazak from the EcoHealth Alliance admits in this quote that Dr. Martin reads what this is all about. And folks, I'm looking for this quote from Dr. Peter Drazak. If you can find it, please email it to me at kdbeer1969@gmail.com. I'd like to get it right out of the horse's mouth.
So for those who want to live in the illusion that somehow or another that's the end of the story. Be prepared for a greater disappointment, because somebody knew something in 2015 and 2016, which gave rise to my favorite quote of this entire pandemic. And by that, I'm not being cute. My favorite quote of this pandemic was a statement made in 2015 by Peter Daszak. Mm-hmm. The statement that was made by Peter Daszak in 2015, reported in the National Academies of Press publication February 12, 2016, and I'm quoting, "We need to increase public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process." End quote.
"For the love of money is the root of all evil." Remember my circles in the circles that I've talked to you about, folks? In the middle, you have the prince of this world, the devil, Lucifer, who then confers or meets with the Council of Nine, who then goes out to the 1% and gives them their marching orders. And then this 1% establishes the educational forum for the young global leaders, and they become all of our authoritarian dictators who have been educated over the past 40 years to march in Operation Lockstep as they impose upon the masses through their layers of bureaucracy these draconian measures that have nothing to do with health and everything to do with control. And then you have all the mindless masses, the sheeple. And folks, did you know that last Matrix movie actually used the term sheeple? I first heard that term from William Cooper 30 years ago on The Hour of the Time, and I've been using it ever since. And now it's probably in the dictionary of slang. But anyways, folks, the point I'm trying to make is you have these circles upon circles, and that's how this information is controlled. It's compartmentalization. The people at the very core know these truths. And then as the rings increase, the level of understanding decreases and the motivation decreases. You know, at the very center, it's all about pride. Pride cometh before the fall. That's what caused Lucifer to fall, folks. That's the core of every sin. But then there's people that are motivated by money, people that are motivated by prestige, people that are motivated for some other reason. Perhaps it's a trap, you know. Maybe they're being bribed. Maybe they're being threatened. Oh, we're gonna tell everybody about your involvement with Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell if you don't stay quiet, Chief Justice Roberts. Oh, and isn't it strange that the ruling came out, and what's going to happen? Oh, they're sealing all of the information in the black book. So we're not going to dive into this. We're not going to learn what's behind it. That's nothing to see here, folks. Yes, there is, but it's more control. But, folks, I have to keep moving. And I'm looking for my sidekick, Henrietta, and I don't see her. She probably didn't get the memo that we were changing the date. Oh, and by the way, as I'm waiting for Henrietta, because I do not see her, where you at, Henrietta? Hey, Terry. Terry's upstairs. She can't hear me. I got in a little bit of hot water for having the Christmas Day broadcast at the regular time, because that meant I had to go to bed early and I wasn't able to stay up with Terry on Christmas Eve. Not a good thing to do. That's why this one's delayed. And just a shout out to all the regulars out there. I see people popping on. I want to shout out to Kathy, Sister Kathy, Happy New Year, if you can even say that anymore in this crazy world. And my dear friend Alex, God bless you and your family. Hey, Seth, if you're listening, and my sister-in-law Sue and Jackie and all of you folks. I looked recently and there's 150, 200 subscribers to the podcast, and I'm praying, provided the Lord's willing, we're gonna get this up and on one of the video platforms and maybe have some content there. But it's a lot of work to do by yourself. So if there's anybody that's a glutton for punishment, wants a little work, maybe putting these MP3s into MP4s with some content on the video, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. I could certainly use your help. We all need to be in this battle. Oh, there's Henrietta. I knew you were around here somewhere. Okay, stay on the paper. So a follow-up. You know, we had our superfood segment last week, and I got an email from Alex, and he was asking if I had a chart or anything that could show the combinations and list some of the better brands, and unfortunately, I didn't have anything like that. A lot of what I know in terms of synergies and relationships between these nutritional supplements just came from reading. For example, with vitamin D3, you also ought to be taking K2, zinc, and vitamin C. Now, vitamin C works better if it's compounded with rose hips or if you take it in a liposomal form. And folks, you know I'm a PhD chemist, and a lot of these products being sold as liposomes are not liposomes. They're emulsions. And there's a huge difference between an emulsion and a liposome. And to be bioavailable and effective, the vitamin C, the water-soluble portion of the liposome, needs to be encased in that oil-loving portion, which will help it deliver directly to the cells in the bloodstream. So, folks, all of you out there that have a big bottle of something labeled liposomal vitamin C, it's probably not. It should be a gel, and it should be in a little packet, and it should be a single use. Live On Labs has a very good one. Folks, I tried to make a liposome, and I cannot get a pure enough fat base, which is typically lecithin. You have to have an extremely pure fat source to be able to create the liposome. Otherwise, you just end up with an emulsion, which in practical layman's terms is something like mayonnaise. You know, that's an emulsion. But you don't want an emulsion with the vitamin C. You want a liposome. And there's other similar synergistic effects. Take everybody's into turmeric. Well, a better version or a higher potency version is the active extract, which is the curcumin. And there's a synergistic effect with a piperine extract from black pepper, which increases bioavailability orders of magnitude. Now, let's get back to vitamin D3 for a minute. You know, the recommended daily requirement is very low. In fact, it's virtually useless. Now, I megadose on these things, and I'm not telling you what to do. I don't give medical advice. I'm just telling you what I do. I'm now on a maintenance level of 35,000 units per day, and I have a biannual blood test, which tells me my level. And in the United States, they want you to be somewhere between 50 to 100 nanograms per milliliter in your blood. And Canada takes that all the way up to 130. Now, I was dosing at 60,000 units per day. My last blood test was 135 nanograms per milliliter. So I cut back. And I have Terry up at that dose now because when she tested at 50,000, she was coming in around 60 to 65 nanograms per milliliter. So our goal is to get up to 100 and stay at 100. And I've picked all of this up by reading. Now, as far as the best brands out there, I did see a webpage, but I can't find it right now, that goes into them. And I've been looking for another, but all the ones I found have those buy now links in there. And those raise my suspicion. Now, two good brands that I know, and I can't say this across the board, but the Clover Valley or whatever the Walmart, Clover Village or Clover Valley, the ones from Walmart, they're actually surprisingly highly rated in particular areas, like the fish oil, for example, is very pure. I can't speak for all of them. I just research the ones that I want. So I find these pages that do independent studies, kind of like what Mike Adam does, but I haven't seen anything like that with the various brands from Mike Adams. But my point is that you want to get very pure. Swanson brands are very good. Now brand is another one that's good. And by the way, folks, I don't get any compensation from anybody for this. I'm just sharing what I do. Another good place if you're going to go in bulk and maybe make your own capsules or make smoothies is bulksupplements.com. And I've also learned that it's very important that regardless of the brand you buy the proper compound. For example, with potassium, which is very important for your nervous system, it's very important that you have the proper counterion. Citrate is much better than chloride for this purpose. Also the form. And I mentioned that a little bit with the liposomal C. But liquid or powder is better than a caplet or capsule, which is better than the hard-pressed and coated pills, because a lot of those you actually pass through your system and they're not fully dissolved. So that's just a wrap-up of what we talked about last week, and I encourage you all to look at your health and do what you can to become immune supermen and immune superwomen, because that's our best defense. Now, I also wanted to talk a little bit about communications, because if you're a prepper, comms is very important. Now, my sister-in-law, Sue, she texted me this week and asked me if we had a satellite phone. And I replied, no, not yet, but I'll be getting one very soon. And then I replied, it's also important to learn about the dark web and shortwave radios. And she replied, wow, those phones are very expensive. And why the dark web? Now, phones, sat phones are expensive, but there are some deals out there where you can get them for free if you subscribe to a service plan. Now, the minutes aren't cheap. It's typically 150 minutes for $100, and you have to subscribe for about 12 months. So you're going to have about $1,200 in this, but you're going to have accrued 1,800 minutes. And you only pay for your minutes when you call out, not when you receive calls. So I'm researching this, and what I'm looking at is, can you roll your minutes over to year two and year three if you suspend your subscription? And that's the big question. And if that's the case, hey, it could be a pretty good deal for a $1,200 investment. If not, then you have a $100 a month expense on top of that. So let's talk a little bit about the dark web and why it's important. Well, you know, a lot of people think, well, that's for drug dealers and pornographers and pedophiles. Well, yeah, they all use that, but they also use the regular web. The value in the dark web, you know, the Tor browser type, the Onion technology, is that they can't shut it down unless they bring the entire web down, and that's the value. So the phones are good. The dark web is good. And in terms of a retreat strategy, here's how I would view it in terms of your communications. Right now, until the proverbial bull doo-doo hits the fan, we'll have status quo. And then when the deep state tries to control the web even more, you'll have the dark web to fall back on. And then when they bring that down, they'll probably bring the cell phones down at the same time. You're going to have your satellite phones. And if they do move on the satellite phones, praise the Lord, we still have shortwave radio. So that's the direction. Status quo, dark web, sat phones, shortwave. So if you don't have some of those things, start looking into them. But we need to maintain communications. And then next week, what I'd like to do is talk about cannabis. You know, we heard that in the Mind Control America Part 4. That was taken away from us, folks, because in my humble opinion, after what I've learned since Terry got her medical marijuana card, THC, CBD, and a few of the other cannabidiols, as they're called, or cannabinoids, have tremendous medicinal properties. And I'm not saying this in any terms of exaggeration, but if you were to have these items in your medicine bag or your medicine cabinet as tinctures or as gummies or edibles or even as something that you have to vape, you could probably eliminate half of all the prescription drugs for everything from anxiety to pain to digestive health. It's an amazing miracle plant, folks, but more on that next week. And just a few other thoughts. Just a few, okay? I'm seeing that the driver now in this country is Big Pharma, and it seems like it's controlling this entire narrative. So one thing we can all do is take a look at what you're actually taking. Let me look at my list of prescription drugs. Oh, there's nothing there. Folks, did you know that I don't take a single prescription drug? Not a one. In fact, I had a big thorn under my knuckle boy, did that hurt. And I went into the doctor's office because I had to have it removed, and I tried pulling it out, and I couldn't do it. They didn't want to damage any nerves or anything. So they asked me for a list of my prescription drugs, and I said, I don't have any. And they looked at me like, you got to have a prescription drug you take. Well, no, I don't take anything. And that was an anomaly to them. They were baffled by that. But I'm rambling, folks, and we have to continue. We have to keep moving. And right now it's time for our Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Now, maybe you've noticed that these reports have also shifted. They began in the crisis updates as hopeful election 2020 outcomes. Maybe they were going to actually expose the fraud and do something about it. So I was hopeful in the sense that I was hoping that justice would still prevail for the 2020 election scandal and scam, but it didn't happen. I was hopeful that the fraud with the mail-in ballots and the dead voters voting and the Dominion voting machines hooked up to the internet during the actual voting times, which is illegal, I hope that would all be outed, but it wasn't. But what did happen is that we had a groundswell in this country, okay? And people woke up to the fact that they were being manipulated. People woke up to the fact that they were being lied to. And I think people are waking up to the fact that President Trump is not our savior. President Trump is an insider, in my humble opinion, folks. President Trump is part of this kabuki theater. He was controlled opposition. Otherwise, why is this guy pushing vaccines? And you're hearing this all over the podcasts and alternative media right now. This is just my two cents. But in my humble opinion, the deep state has won this one concerning election fraud. And in this case, truth has literally fallen, as the prophet from the Old Testament said, in the streets. And now my hopium is switching from these election scandals, which I don't think we'll ever have another fair and free election in this country, to the awakening of the public to these weaponized jabs and an overall awakening of we the people. And that's where the true power resides. Hey, last week we talked about that clip from Britain's health minister, Jelaine Keegan, and how the tough questions she got from the Sky TV reporter. Why don't we take a re-listen to that, at least a portion of it. It's only a minute long, so let's listen to the whole thing.
At this stage, how many people are in hospital this morning with Omicron?
There's 774.
In hospital?
Oh, sorry, that's total hospitalization in the last 7 days. With Omicron, there's 10 cases with Omicron. Maybe going up to 11, actually. That wasn't confirmed yet, but I think it's probably gone up to 11.
How many deaths?
The deaths were 100 and Omicron. No, we don't have. We've had one death with Omicron so far.
Just and how many of those 10 people with Omicron are on ventilators?
I don't think there's anybody that I'm aware of on a ventilator with Omicron.
Okay, Professor Whitty is saying people should be
prioritizing. So what you're getting at is the severity of the. You're getting at the severity of the disease,
which is one of the unknowns. 10 people in hospital, one of them died, the other 10 are not on ventilators. There's a fact.
Yeah.
We all need to push back like that reporter from Sky TV did. When they give you some crazy number, ask them, well, where did you get that information? Oh, how bad is bad? How many people are hospitalized? Are you sure the hospitals aren't jam-packed because they've closed entire wings because they terminated doctors and nurses who refused this poison? Are you sure that's not why the hospitals are overcrowded? Perhaps it doesn't have anything to do with COVID cases. So you can go to websites and look at the actual number of people or the actual number of available hospital beds. And I think there's like 9,000 ICUs that were available pre-COVID. It'd be interesting to look at that and see how many hospital beds are available post-COVID. I'm willing to wager, and I don't bet, I'm willing to wager, folks, that it's less than there was pre-COVID. So why did I play that clip? Because I'm hopeful. I'm seeing people push back, even people in the media. But typically the media personalities who do push back end up getting fired. But here's a woman who has awakened to the adverse vax reactions in the entire scamdemic. And listen to her. This is a 2 minute and 13 second clip, and this is why it's in hopium.
There was a time when I would scroll through social media and see posts about the pandemic we're going through, and the comments would just be like, this isn't about health, this is about control. And I would always just brush those comments off as conspiracy theories. Like, of course the government has our best interests at heart. Of course the government doesn't want us to get sick, and they're trying to take care of us. And then I found out the very, very hard way that this is not about our health. You want to know how I know it's not about our health anymore? I have first-hand experience on this topic. Okay, so my husband, after his first dose, got myocarditis. He had multiple doctors say that it was likely caused by the jab. Then they went back and said it was unlikely. Then they refused to write an exemption for the next dose. But now we found a doctor who absolutely wholeheartedly believes that this was caused by the jab. He wants to help us. He really does. But you know what he said? If he writes us an exemption, he's going to get investigated and he's going to have his license threatened. How is it that when a doctor is trying to help a patient, write them an exemption for something that severely harmed them the first time, is going to get investigated and have their license threatened? How is it about health? How is it about health when those other doctors are sending people who have had severe adverse reactions back to go get a second dose? Wake up, people. When doctors are being investigated and having their license threatened for trying to help a patient avoid something that harmed them in the first place, how is that about health?
That's right, folks. It has nothing to do with health, everything to do with control. So we heard the Sky TV reporter push back on Britain's health minister, Gillian Keegan, when she started to try her fear porn. And then we heard this woman who's starting to wake up. She's understanding. She's understanding what's going on. And now listen to this woman who is pissed off, and pardon my language, but she's pissed off. She's awakened to the COVID con craziness. Listen to this minute and a half clip.
Hey, celebrity prostitutes, bribed politicians, controlled media whores, thug law enforcers on a power trip, and indoctrinated allopathic drug pushers. We don't want your shitty, dangerous, killer, fertility-damaging, experimental quaxines. We don't want your discriminatory, segregational passport system, nor your Stepford wife social credit system. We don't join cults. We aren't germaphobes. We know how to read statistics. We know how to think for ourselves, and we know what narcissistic abuse looks like. We don't want to be China. You don't govern us. We know the law, and we claim our birthrights. Frankly, we're moving on without you. The trance-like hypnotic suggestions and brainwashing just didn't take with us. We aren't of a fluoride stare, TV-level, adolescent mind who falls prey to drama and peer pressure. So you can prance around with your drolling, repetitive, embarrassing, and flailing advertising campaign all you like. But to us, it reeks of desperation, shows us what pathological liars you are, and only highlights those sellouts who have sold their souls to the agenda. But good luck. You're going to need it.
Yeah, they're going to need it. And, folks, this is why These three examples are why I still remain hopeful that we, the people out there fighting a good fight, may still be able to waken the sleeping giant called we the people. But the ballot box isn't going to solve this, folks. Only a massive, peaceful, civil disobedience, a movement beyond anything this world has ever seen of noncompliance against all these supposed public health mandates, from face masks to jabs to vax cards to testing. Just say no to all of them. Remember, we outnumber them orders of magnitude to one, and we have to stand up, and we have to say no. But I have to keep moving. It's time now for our Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Hey, folks, I have a couple crazy stories here in the Absurdian Report. The MSNBC host Nicole Wallace calls herself a Fauci groupie. That's all I need to say on this one. Listen to this 24-second absurd moment over at the kook platform known as MSNBC.
I'm a Fauci groupie. I'm a thrice vaccinated mask adherent. I buy KN95 masks by the, you know, caseload. They're in every pocket. I wear them everywhere except when I sit down. And I am certain that this is not a variant I can outrun. And I wonder where you think the sort of conversation is heading at this moment, Jason.
I don't know if I need to say anything more. That is a classic example of Dimitri Desmet's mass formation, folks. That woman is operating out of total irrationality, lacking any foundation in logic and truth, and is totally mind-controlled. How about this report from the Daily Mail? American passengers banned from disembarking in Mexican crews after 21 crew members get COVID-19. Now, here's the irony to this one, the absurdity of the thing. There's a total of 1,035 passengers aboard the Holland American Line cruise ship, and they were not allowed to disembark in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, last Thursday. The authorities turned away the ship after 21 crew members tested positive for COVID-19. Now, here's the craziness about this. The entire ship, all people and all crew, were fully vaccinated. So here you have a micro version of the macro version of this world where they're saying, well, as soon as we have 100% compliance, the COVID will go away. That's not true. We have an example right here. And, oh, it's not just one ship. It's many ships. There are ships like this in other cities. Carnival, Royal Caribbean, departing from Miami and Fort Lauderdale, that are reporting the same thing. These cruise ships are excellent petri dishes to test their crazy theories. And these cases are beginning to prove, like I said, that the muzzled experts, the doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough from Texas, who did that phenomenal podcast with Joe Rogan. And folks, if you haven't heard that, I listened to the full thing for the first time last night. Unreal. So these doctors who are speaking out and saying this stuff is crazy, getting muzzled, and all that they were claiming is being validated. Now, remember, earlier last year, we had the COVID outbreak on a cruise ship and all sorts of crazy. It was actually early in 2020, and they had all sorts of crazy theories that were flying around. But one interesting thing about that cruise ship is it had just facilitated a full 5G launch for their Wi-Fi system and their telecom. And we know that the damage from ionizing radiation at, 60 gigahertz, which is where 5G operates, causes the same symptoms as SARS-CoV-2, which we now call COVID-19 in terms of the results. So the symptoms that manifest from the spike protein, which is SARS-CoV-2, are now called COVID-19, and you see the same COVID-19 symptoms with 5G radiation poisoning. And, oh, by the way, don't forget Wuhan, Milan, and New York City, the three hot spots that the media just gobbled up and fed out as fear porn day and night for months on end, were all also 5G hotspots. Oh, here's another crazy clip. There's a woman, and she's out there fighting a good fight. God bless you, ma'am, whoever you are. She confronted a CVS pharmacist concerning the contents in, I believe it was the Moderna jab. Listen to this 2-minute, 19-second clip.
That's from the Moderna vaccine.
Okay, Moderna. Is it the same for Pfizer and all of the others?
Each brand is a little different.
Okay. So may I take this with me to look at all of the safety studies, placebo safety studies on this?
Because the one that's given to patients doesn't contain that information. So that.
Which one are they giving if it's not
so,
this one?
No, that's the one. That is the one we are giving.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the package insert given to patients isn't the full information.
So it's not from the manufacturer themselves.
That is from the manufacturer, but it's truncated. That's
okay.
The full thing.
So why is it intentionally blank if it's all the safety studies?
They're inside.
They're inside of it?
And this folds up.
Okay.
It supposedly folds up. I've got to get online and find it.
No, it's okay. I already know that it's intentionally blank. My last question is, how is it informed consent when all of the safety studies, placebo safety studies, are not listed from the manufacturer?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. I would talk to CVS about that.
Okay. So if we don't know what we're injecting into ourselves, I don't understand how that's informed consent.
You're exactly right.
Okay.
And you're exactly right.
Yeah.
And you are correct. I should not be giving these vaccines at all.
Okay. Oh, why are you giving them?
Because I am told to.
I understand that.
And everything I have shown, including the patients that I have given it to, it is safe.
It is safe and effective. Studies are you going by that's safe and effective? I know these are tough questions, but I have to ask.
I know, and I'm sorry, but...
But you can't answer, so I understand that.
I unfortunately cannot answer that,
okay.
And I feel... And right now, I'm feeling totally inadequate as a...
Because I'm told to? I'm feeling really inadequate as a pharmacist? Folks, are you hearing this?
What? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
Dr. Peter McCullough said that there's about a million physicians across the country, and I don't know for sure, but there's probably a similar statistic for the pharmacists. So you have a million of these highly educated people, and yet there's only about 500 doctors who are in the know concerning this scamdemic. And I suppose a similar statistic exists for the pharmacists out there. God bless you, ma'am, whoever you are. This is a classic example, and my dear friend Seth tried to do this, and he wasn't quite as successful. But folks, we need to be doing this. I bet you that pharmacist will never think about these augmentation technology. And let's start calling them what they are. So let's stop using their term, which is vaccine, and let's start using the proper term, augmentation technology. And folks, do you remember we played the Moderna exec who said he's going to hack our DNA? In fact, I didn't have this in the schedule, but let's see if I can call it up, and let's play the Moderna boss. This is a 2-minute clip, and it's coming out of the schedule, but I'm going to cut the last Absurdian report because this is important. Listen to the Moderna boss tell us that the mRNA jab rewrites our genetic code. Listen to this. This is from a TED Talk in 2017.
So I started my professional life about 30 years ago as a nurse in the pediatric intensive care unit. And I remember this one infant, let's call him Jonathan, who came in really, really ill. Seemed to have a rare genetic defect, but in those days, gene diagnosis was still in its infancy, so we couldn't really figure out what's wrong with him. And in the years since, as I've trained as a physician scientist, we've been living this phenomenal digital and scientific revolution. And I'm here today to tell you that we're actually hacking the software of life and that it's changing the way we think about prevention and treatment of disease. So here's all the biology you need to know in 30 seconds. Our body is made out of organs. Our organs are made out of cells. And in every cell, there's this thing called messenger RNA, or mRNA for short, that transmits the critical information from the DNA, our genes, to the protein, which is really the stuff we're all made out of. This is the critical information that determines what a cell will actually do. And so we think of it like an operating system. And it's not just in every cell of our body, it's actually in every cell of every organism alive. It's the same thing. And so if you could actually change that, which we call the software of life, if you could introduce a line of code or change a line of code, it turns out that has profound implications for everything from the flu to cancer. And I'm going to demonstrate that with three short examples.
There you have it, folks. And it goes beyond cancer and the flu to actually augmentation of our very bodies to become receivers and transmitters of information, the new currency. But we have to keep moving. It's time for Ken's Corner.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
So Sister and Kathy and I, we were sharing notes this week, and the topic, they were diverse and broad, but we got onto the meaning and name, that came up, and Kathy told me that her name means pure, and then I told her my story about when I met Jonathan Kleck back in 2009. It was probably October 2009, and Jonathan, as soon as he heard my name, he said, did you know that Kenneth means born of fire? Now, folks, I've been telling people that I was saved per Jude verse 23, and I ought to call that up. So Jude verse 23 says, and let me get to it here on my iPad. Where are you, Bible? Let's go to Jude. I want to actually read this, so it's important. Now, a lot of people say Jude chapter 1 verse 23, but you don't have to do that because there's only one chapter, 26 verses, 25 verses in Jude. So let me read Jude verse 23. Well, let me go back to verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And here's verse 22. And some have compassion, making a difference. So you can share the love of God with some people, and that'll get them saved. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Folks, the love of God didn't do it for me. I had to be overcome by the Lord before I gained knowledge and wisdom and insight into the truth of the gospel. And then, of course, love comes. Now, these people that are saved by love, soon they have to learn about the fear of God to gain wisdom. Point is, one or the other is going to get you there. Well, I was telling Kathy that I was saved by fear, pulled from the fire. And then about a month before I actually met Jonathan on 09-09-09, so September 9th, 2009, I had my big event. And if my testimony, and it's in the archive here on Blog Talk Radio, you'll know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, you'd like to hear it, just email me and I'll send you a link to it. But that's when I believed I was baptized by fire. I told Kathy that. And then after that happened, probably a week or two after it happened, I just was praying one Sunday morning, kind of before you get out of bed, you know, you're in that semi-awake, semi-sleep state. I just said, Lord, what was that all about? What happened to me on September 9th, 2009? And when I opened my eyes, he said, read the ninth verse of the ninth chapter of the ninth book of my Bible. And that's, I mean, I heard that as clear as bell. And I don't typically hear, it wasn't an audio. I heard that in my mind as clear as could be. So I went and I opened it up. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9, out of the King James. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. And folks, when Jonathan Kleck introduced himself to me on a three-way call we had with my former podcast partner, John Seitzinger, he said to me, the first thing out of his mouth, I am a seer. And that very morning, I had just read this verse. It was a Sunday morning in October of 2009. And that was me in my meeting with Jonathan Kleck. And by the way, Jonathan and I used to talk quite often on the phone. We've drifted apart, but God bless you, Jonathan, for everything you're doing. And then the very next day, I wanted to call one of my small group friends from our former church, Pittsburgh East. And I was just picking the phone up to call her when she called me. And she said, I wanted to tell her about what just happened. And she said, I have to tell you something first. Now, she read 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 6 through 7 to me out of her NIV Bible. And let me read that to you. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, and I believe that's what happened on September 9th, 2009, when it felt like a fiery sword went through my body, piercing me and then pulling something out. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. So then a few weeks ago, I had my jigsaw puzzle moment where everything came together as if you just took a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, threw it up in the air, and watched the pieces self-assemble. And by the time the jigsaw puzzle fell onto the floor, the entire 1,000-piece puzzle was assembled. I had that. I had this moment of clarity where I could see everything that was happening in this crazy world today and why. And folks, when I try to articulate this to you, when I try to share this with you, that's why I use these clips. That's why I'm always going to these different Bible verses. That's why I'm trying to pull this all together, because we are spiritual people having a physical experience. We are triune in nature, body, soul, and spirit. And our soul has three components to it, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we, folks, are being manipulated by the enemy. His gateway to our being is through our soul. Now, God communicates with us through our spirit, but the enemy has to use our soul. So they prey on us with fear. They prey on us with lies. They do everything they can. And the power we have, our weapon is rest, and that's what we're going to learn at the end here. So I wanted to share that with you so you maybe understand a little bit better where I'm coming from. But I'm looking at the clock, and I want to get through this whole message, so I just cut out some other comments there. Let's move on to our Back to the Future episode. And I'm going to abbreviate this too, folks. It's time for Back to the Future. Where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. So this week, folks, I want to wind the clock back to the 19th century. And in that time, we had allopathic physicians that used drugs. We had homeopathic physicians who used plants. And we even had some other people out there practicing their version of healing. But I want to focus now on the allopaths and the homeopaths. And I want to talk in particular about two people. Let me call him up here. I thought I had this queued. My apologies. I want to talk about two people, Doctors Antonio Beckham and Claude Bernet, who developed this theory known as train theory. Okay? So just realize that back in the 19th century, there were other views other than germ theory, and one of them was terrain theory. Now, I'm going to give you a little background on terrain theory, and this was all done by Dr. Robert Young. He's a naturopathic practitioner, and he's dedicated his entire life to this unconventional theory and his version of wellness. Now, Dr. Robert Young, he believes in terrain theory, and I'm just going to use his website to explain a little bit about this. And he has a meme on there, or a little illustration. It says, when a fish is sick, what would you do? Treat the fish or change the water? Well, the fish is only as healthy as the water it swims in. And that's the point he was trying to make. So in germ theory, what you look at is something alien that comes to invade you, or the concept that the germ, you know, the fungus, the bacteria, or the virus causing the disease. Whereas in terrain theory, they're saying that dis-ease, or something apart from having your body at rest, which we're going to talk about, or your body is dis-ease or not at ease, comes from a weakened immune system. And that's terrain theory, or the concept of having a clean fish tank, versus germ theory, which says vaccinate the fish. So this is basically the whole thing. But there's a book out that was titled A Finger on the Magic of Life by Antonio Beckham. He was alive from 1816 to 1908. And I think the whole concept of germ theory is fairly sound when you're looking at bacteria, because we know you drink poison, or not poison, but dirty water, and you can get sick. In fact, you can get so sick that you die from the bacteria that's in the water. So then they took this fairly well-established germ theory on bacteria, and they moved it into this very uncertain realm concerning virology and epidemiology, which are very soft sciences when compared to chemistry or physics. But that's all I'm going to talk about today. And you're going to say, well, how's that apply to today? Well, just look around. Former President Trump, the controlled opposition, he called it the invisible enemy, the China virus. Folks, they're using this thing that nobody can see or quantify to basically, radically, fundamentally change Western culture and enslave us. And that's what they're doing. Folks, I'm tired. I'm going to be honest with you. I am tired. In fact, I was off this past week, and I got some much-needed rest, got some things caught up around the house here, and I had some time to listen to InfoWars. And I heard Alex Jones, I believe it was on Thursday, essentially say the same thing. He's tired, folks. We've all been through a lot, and we're tired. Now, I promised you that I'd show you how we could have rest in the midst of all of this Luciferian-induced chaos, you know, their Ordo Ab Kao move, if we knew the real Christmas tree. Now, I said not know about the real Christmas tree. I said know it. And I'm implying knowing this Christmas tree in relationship. This real Christmas tree can have a relationship with you and me, because this real Christmas tree is none other than the root of Jesse. Now, of course, any of us who have been involved in the faith for any matter of time knows that December 25th isn't actually the real birthday of Jesus. In fact, that first happened in 336 AD when the Roman emperor, who was a convert to Christianity, we all know him, Constantine, established December 25th as the celebration of the birth of Jesus, and it became known as Christmas. But the truth is that no one actually knows when Jesus was born. The Bible doesn't give us an exact date. However, it doesn't stop us from trying to figure it out. So a lot of people, a lot of Bible researchers have tried to figure it out. And there's some that say he was born in the spring, and others think he was born in the fall. And both ideas coincide to specific Hebrew holidays or holy days. But honestly, folks, that's not what really matters. What matters is that the birth of Jesus Christ is celebrated, because it's all about the truth that he was born to die for your sins and mine. So it doesn't really matter if we celebrate it on June 25th, which is the winter solstice and a pagan holiday, or whether we celebrate it on March 4th or September 11th or any other date. What's important is that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we celebrate Jesus himself for his great atoning sacrifice in our place. You know, Jesus died for us so that we could have eternal life. So if you want to celebrate Christmas, go ahead and celebrate it. Put up a tree and God bless you. But just know that that Christmas tree has pagan origin. That Christmas tree is not what you think it is. It truly isn't, folks. That Christmas tree comes from very dark and pagan sources.
Shazam.
Yeah, that's right, Gomer. Shazam. It does. So Christmas does have a lot of pagan elements to it, but there is a Christmas tree that isn't pagan. Now hold that thought for a minute, okay? So go ahead and decorate your house any way you want. Like, sing all this Christmas to make every cookie you can. And let your heart melt when you think of the little baby Jesus laying in the manger. Go ahead. Surrounded by the shepherds with the huge star, the Star of Bethlehem. But don't concern yourself with the actual date. Just celebrate and rejoice that God loves you and cares for you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if you feel like celebrating Christmas again next June or next September, go ahead and do it. But as for today, what I'd like to do is talk about the real Christmas tree. Now, there's a lot of trees in the Bible. And over the past 3 weeks, my pastor has been talking about the real Christmas tree. And I want to just thank him for the inspiration to this message. And he's given me permission to share these things with you. But I want to acknowledge that I was inspired in sharing this with you through what he spoke last week at church. So there's the tree of life, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Genesis 3. And then in Jeremiah 17, verse 8, Jeremiah, speaking of the man whose hope and trust is in the Lord, wrote, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall remain green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." And then there's the passages in the gospel, you know, where Jesus cursed the fig tree for not having fruit, despite the fact that it was out of season. It wasn't time for fruit. You could read about that in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14, and Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. And those are entire studies for another day. Plus, let's not forget about all the olive trees in the Bible. And there's all sorts of connections between the people, the land, and the earth through all of these agrarian-type analogies and illustrations. Now, the olive was first mentioned in the flood story from Genesis chapter 8, verse 11. But it goes all the way to Revelation chapter 11, verse 4, where the two witnesses are represented as two olive trees. So this was a very highly regarded tree in the Bible. But again, another study for another day. And then there's that often misunderstood story of the mustard seed and the mustard tree, which is grotesque. Folks, people so often misinterpret what this parable means concerning the church. But I had a detailed study on SDG 233 if you'd like to learn about that. But that's not even what I want to talk about. Plus, there's allusions to grapevines and branches. You know, what I want to get to, though, I want to look at the real Christmas tree, which is the family tree of Jesus. Like I said, leading up to Christmas, my pastor Todd spent 3 weeks talking about the real Christmas tree, looking at both the lawful and grace-filled lineage that led up to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the family tree I'm talking about, and it all began with the root of Jesse. Then he also looked at prophecies on Jesus, both the ones that prophesied his first coming and the ones that prophesied his second coming. But for today, I want to focus on the prophecies, very specifically concerning his coming and, more importantly, his soon return, okay? So let's start by picturing skipping a rock across the pond. Who hasn't done that? We all did it as a child. When Terry and I were up on the lake at the cottage back in October, I tried to skip some rocks and I almost threw my arm out because I was really trying to get to go. But picture those skips, okay? And as it skips across the water, it skips and bounces, and they get smaller and smaller and smaller until the rock just sinks below the surface. However, with this family tree, the real Christmas tree of Jesus and the prophecies of Jesus, it's an inverted skip. And by that I mean that over time the skips get bigger and of more magnitude until the very last one, his soon and much anticipated return, praise the Lord. So we all ought to know the lineage of Jesus and the prophecies associated with it. Folks, did you know it goes back to the tribe of Judah? In Genesis 49, Jacob, also known as Israel, gives his sons a blessing. Now, a biblical blessing isn't exactly like a blessing we may do, where you wish somebody a good day or a blessed week. You know, some of those blessings that were bestowed by Israel or Jacob upon his sons were fairly nasty, but I don't want to focus on those. I want to focus on the blessing he bestowed upon his son named Judah. And in verse 10 of Genesis 49, it reads, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Now, how clear was that? Well, honestly, about as clear as mud, except when you look at it through hindsight. So Jacob was saying that the scepter shall stay upon the tribe of Judah until Shiloh comes. And by the way, Shiloh, that's Jesus. So then we hear this again when the angel spoke to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. And I'm going to read that for you, folks. "But while he thought on these things," that's Joseph, thinking about the fact that his wife Mary is pregnant with child, "the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." Because remember, he was thinking about putting her off quietly because he thought she was unfaithful, saying, "Joseph, son of David, fear not, take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall name his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." So in between Jacob's blessing to Judah and the first coming of Jesus, we see the skip. And during that skip, not all the kings were good kings. There were some baddies in there, some people that led God's people to perdition, literally. So what did God do? Well, he sends his prophets to warn the people and to have them repent so they could avoid perdition. And one was Isaiah. And in particular, you could see this in chapters 8 through 11 of his book. And all I can say about those chapters are, wow. Go back and read Isaiah chapter 8 through chapter 11. And I guarantee you, you'll say, wow, too. And in chapter 8, Isaiah warns them that the king of Assyria will cut them down like a lumberjack clears the forest. Did you ever see a forest that was clear cut? You know, it looks like devastation. There will be an occasional sapling standing or a little tree that just wasn't worth cutting. That's all that remains standing. And that's what Isaiah prophesied for Judah, for the nation Israel. They would be cut down by the king of Assyria. So Assyria will invade the land, basically. And that's what he says. But they still didn't listen. So Isaiah says in verse 17 through 22, of Isaiah chapter 8. "Well, regardless of what you do, folks, I'll wait upon the Lord that hideth his faith from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him." So Isaiah rests on the Lord as the time gets darker and darker for God's people. And you could read that for yourself in verses 18 through 22. And then it continues over in verse 6 and 7 of chapter 9, where it says, as we just read, "For a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." This is what the angel of the Lord was quoting to Joseph. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Now, has that happened yet? Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Does that sound like today? Well, of course not. So here it is. Darkness comes and then Jesus comes. And that's what happened in the Old Testament. When the Assyrian king cut down the nation Israel like a lumberjack cut in the forest. And then we see it happening again. It happened before his first coming. You know, that rock skip. It happened now, or it's happening. We're in that interim phase now. The prophecy was spoken, but it hasn't been fulfilled yet. He's not here as the Prince of Peace yet. The increase of his government and peace, not seeing any end, hasn't happened yet. So we're anticipating it. And that's what we're in today. But you don't have to be weary. You can be promised rest, or you are literally promised rest. So chapters 8 and 9 of Isaiah, they focus on light and darkness. And then in 10, we see him shift gears and go to the axe and the lumberjack. And then listen to Isaiah 10, verse 19. And the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few, that a child might write them. So what he's saying there is, once the king of Assyria gets done with you, look out. There's not going to be much left standing. A child could draw those couple trees. And folks, that's exactly what we're going to face. Devastation, utter devastation, the clear cutting of the forest with an occasional surviving sampling or straggler. You know, that's going to be us. Few remain faithful. But here's the ultimate plan. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Folks, that's the real Christmas tree. So picture that on this clear-cut hillside, devastated, totally devastated, with one little stem, one little bud springing forth. And then Isaiah tells us this in verses 2 through 4. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Folks, that's Jesus. That's the who that the angel told Joseph would be born from his wife Mary. And folks, when God destroyed Assyria, it was devastating. And this all centered around his first coming. And then this root of Jesse that grows up and still bears fruit all over the world is the church of Jesus Christ, with all the grafted in wild olive branches, so to speak. So just keep picturing this rock skipping over the water. Okay? Have we seen Jesus judge the world yet? No, not yet. But Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. And he was referring to his purpose there during his first time here on earth. That's the first skip of the rock, his first coming. But I'm telling you, folks, he will soon return. But this time, not as the little baby in the manger that everybody loves. Everybody loves the little baby. No, he's coming back this time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And pardon my language, folks, but he's coming back to kick ass and take names. Every wrong will be made right. Every injustice will be made right. And that's the great reckoning. Now let's get back to God's word here. This tree theme continues with Paul in his letter to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 8, 12, and 13. And I'm going to read that. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And again, Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Folks, did you ever wonder what the difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is? It's kind of like a river and a lake. It's kind of like water flowing and water being held, okay? So the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Holy Trinity, whereas the Holy Spirit is his movement through the reality that we're in to you as he moves and fills your lamp, okay? Or I should say God's lamp, which is your spirit, so that it can illuminate and give light to your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions to direct your body. So he came the first time as our Savior, and he comes this next time as our judge. And I'm telling you, folks, he's going to judge each and every one of us. Now, as believers, those of us who are saved, he's just going to judge our works. Now, that may sound, I didn't mean to say just. Yeah, he's going to judge our works, and he's going to test them in a fire. And you may just come out of there singed with nothing to show for your works. You'll still be saved, but you'll have remorse and regret. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first part of it, okay? And for those of you who have not received him as your Savior, you won't know rest. And he will be your judge. And your knee will be bent, either willfully or with a rod of iron. One way or the other, the Lord will judge you and make you fall to your knees and declare Jesus Christ is Lord. But back to this section out of Romans 15. Isn't verse 13 powerful? Isn't that awesome? And folks, I reserve that word for things concerning God, but this is awesome. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, and believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Folks, that is power. And then these branches that were broken off, the wild olive tree, they were grafted in among them. So we actually were grafted in among the root of Jesse. So we were all dead, destined to the burn pile. When, praise the Lord, he picked up these wild branches. And, you know, wild olives are awful. And we were adopted in by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So you and me, we're part of the Christmas tree, the root of Jesse. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it, folks? And what do we find when we're grafted in? Well, the word says that we found rest. So in the midst of all this craziness, in the midst of all this chaos, we can rest in the Lord. We can know that the victory is his, and we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Now, isn't it awesome that Jesus did this with all these wild olive branches, all the nations of the earth? He used all these rejected branches and grafted us all into the root of Jesse, his family tree. So I leave you with a question, folks. Are you grafted in? Well, I hope so. Because when Jesus returns, he will be back as judge, unless he's your Savior. Now, I'd like to finish up today with a song called We Rise. We sang it at church this morning, and there was a line in here, and I just want to read it to you. Rest is our weapon, joy is our strength. We wait upon the Lord and find strength to spread our wings to fly. So remember what we covered over the last 2 weeks, and remember that rest can be had if you are grounded in the Lord Jesus. I love you all, and I'll be back next week. We rise by bowing
only you.